You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. The Sacramento City Unified School District is the 13th largest in the state with more than 40,000 students. 2.5 weeks ago, as the new school year was beginning, the district's budget was disapproved with a $24 million shortfall. In the studio with me is the district superintendent, Jorge Aguilar, and the school board president, Jesse Ryan. Jesse, glad to have you here. Superintendent, glad to have you back on Insight.
Thank you, Beth.
Superintendent, how did this unfold, and how much of a surprise was the shortfall?
Well, the first thing that I want to mention is that this has been something that has been in the works in terms of understanding that as ongoing expenses have risen, we have higher pension costs, we have higher health care costs as well. The County Office of Education, as our fiscal sort of oversight agency, has simply said that for 18-19, our budget is fine, but that this is an issue related to the out years. This is about 19-20, this is about 2021, and the importance of making sure that we're reining in the costs given those increases.
Is there a budget shortfall then in the current 18-19 budget?
No, 18-19 is fine. Their responsibility is to certify that our budget is also healthy up to 2 years out. And they have said to us that based on their review of our budget, we would fall below the state mandated 2% reserve that we have to have on hand, which is why we are working very closely with the county office. They have appointed a fiscal advisor. We'll also work with the fiscal crisis team from the state, looking at ways in which we can become more efficient, nimbler, of course, all in the benefit of our students, of course, which is what attracted me to come to Sac City Unified to work with this Board of Education. And that's what we intend to do.
There's a sense of an element of surprise here. Were you surprised by part of this, Jesse? Were you and the board surprised?
So I will tell you, for the last 4 years that I've been on the board, we have been talking about whether or not we have the long-term fiscal ability to meet our obligations. One of the things that we're very clear about is that while we've done a fairly good job of ensuring that we are setting aside savings to plan for the future of our children, our obligations have not been enough to really meet the revenue that has been coming in. So our obligations have actually exceeded the revenue that we've been able to bring in the district.
So you submitted a budget. It was disapproved. Did you anticipate it was going to be disapproved?
We had a sense of it because, again, this is about the out years. We have enough in our savings account today. We have about $60 million in our savings account. But the ongoing expenses are currently exceeding the state revenues.
Can you expand on that? Specifically, we have this number, $24 million. What's in that $24
million? Well, the $24 million really represents the difference between how much it's costing us to operate the district and the revenues that we're receiving from the state. For example, we are paying more in pension costs this year. That will exceed about $50 million this year. We know that our health care savings have increased about 6.5% over the past 5 years. We, of course, have unfunded liabilities, commitments that were made years ago. And we are certainly leaning forward, making sure that we're looking very closely at our budget so that we can be in a position where our ongoing expenses are exactly where our revenues are at.
So there is a sense, and maybe the word should be stronger than that, that this shortfall is being created because of the settlement you negotiated with teachers last year in order to avert a strike. And then in hindsight, that settlement could have been made knowing it would put the district in a budget shortfall. So then the question becomes, why was it made? So I'd like each of you to respond to that.
No, I'm happy to speak to that. So I will tell you, Beth, that when our superintendent joined the district, we were thick in the process of contract negotiations. And I think that there was a general sentiment that we have amazing teachers in Sacramento City Unified and that we needed to do everything in our power within our means to settle the contract. When the superintendent joined us, we were already in the process of fact-finding because we were fairly wide apart between what we felt we could expend financially and what was being asked for. $86 million was the request, and we were coming in much lower than that, anticipating that we wouldn't have revenues in the out years. But the public outcry was clear going into the November settlement. We heard loudly from community stakeholders, from parents, from students. They wanted to avoid the trauma of a strike at all costs. And so 2 days prior to the date that was set for a walkout, we did come to an agreement. And that agreement was an agreement that we felt was generous for our teachers. But while we could afford it for this year, looking at the out years, looking at the long-term ability to continue to sustain those commitments was a very real concern.
So yes or no, did you reach that agreement knowing it was going to create a future shortfall?
So we have actually had, based on past administrations and boards, obligations that also have created the potential of a future shortfall. Our board going into this was fairly confident that we would be able to cover these costs.
So you did know it might create a shortfall, but you thought they could be covered? Is that a correct description?
So, and please, Superintendent, feel free to add. One of the big challenges with the way the state budgets our K-12 education system is that we are overly reliant on one-time funding. And so for the past few years, we've had to use one-time funds, which are monies that come in for 1 year to cover expenses. But quite often, those are for ongoing expenses. So we are able to meet those financial obligations that year. But the ability to pay for it in subsequent years is always a challenge.
I will also add.
And I want you to back up, Superintendent, and address that same question. Is you were new, you went ahead with a labor deal, was the agreement with the understanding that you could be creating a shortfall, but it was more important to avert the strike?
Sure thing. And please understand that, as President Ryan just mentioned, this is about capitalizing on an opportunity to build a much more robust, structurally sound long-term budget process. What I was able to see very clearly is that we were relying on one-time funds for ongoing expenses, and that's just not a healthy way to operate a district. This Board of Education has leaned forward and said that we are going to capitalize on this opportunity to work with independent voices. SCOE is an independent voice. The fiscal advisor that they've appointed is an independent voice. FICMAT is an independent voice. And we're going to have to figure out how do we rein in some of those ongoing costs so that when we receive one-time funds, those are treated as such. They're put into our savings account so that we can be prepared for an economic downturn and such. But we will not continue to depend on those one-time funds for ongoing expenses.
Now you have a situation that emerged last week, and Board President Ryan is in communication with the teachers' organizations, as you are, Superintendent. What happened at the end of last week and as this news became public? President Ryan?
So, you know, as I've been speaking with community members and parents, there is a huge desire that we clarify the gravity of the fiscal situation. There's been a lot of misinformation. Many individuals don't understand that we actually have the finances to cover this year's expenses, that the real concern is the multi-year budget, how we afford our 20-year, 2021 year. And so we have really said, we are looking at this as an opportunity to find efficiencies, to, in the spirit of full disclosure and transparency, work with an independent fiscal auditor, which is assigned to us by the Sacramento County Office of Education at no charge to the district, to do a deep dive into our budget and to tackle in a way that I believe past administrations should for decades, long-term planning so that we're meeting the needs of our students, not just today, but for their futures.
Jorge, this is particularly personal in a way to the district, too, because you're new and there's been a lot of turnover and there may be some distrust.
Yeah. First of all, let me just say that before my role as superintendent, I'm a Sacramentan. I adopted this community, uprooted my family, and am proud to be a Sacramentan. So it's personal in that regard. My four children attend this school district as well. And it's also personal because everything that we are doing, Beth, is with a lens of equity, access, and social justice. Every investment that we're making is to meet the needs of our students. Our summer school program, which we decided to cut for next year given the severity of this situation, was intended to help students during the summer months when in communities like Sacramento, students struggle coming back to school. For those that were not demonstrating grade level proficiency, we invested in that. We invested in providing students the opportunity to take the SAT, to take the PSAT as well. These were all initiatives that we leveraged resources from grants currently. But as those grants end and we expect those to end, we need to be in a position where we have the resources available to continue to meet the needs of our students and provide opportunities that without the district, they might not have. There's cost to taking the SAT. There's cost to taking AP tests. And these are things that I believe the district has an obligation because of our commitment to the principles of equity, access, and social justice.
So is summer school in the district in jeopardy next year and possibly years beyond?
It absolutely is. In fact, because we took this so seriously, Beth, we knew that we should start making some cuts in the 18-19 fiscal year so that the cuts potentially in 19-20 and 20-21 wouldn't be as severe. So we made cuts to the tune of almost $5 million this year, anticipating that this might occur and making sure that we weren't in a position where we'd have to take much heavier and severe cuts in the out year. So I took the unusual step of presenting our budget as superintendent to the Board of Education on June 21st. Normally, that's the role of a CBO, because I could tell that this was a serious matter. In March, we put out a publication for our community letting them know that this was a serious matter. A few weeks ago, the SACB put out an op-ed where I announced that this was a serious matter. We then got this letter, which is saying that this is a serious matter, and we're going to continue to treat it as a serious matter, but all with a lens of advancing equity, access, and social justice for our students.
You're listening to the superintendent of the Sacramento City Unified School District, Jorge Aguilar, also the school board president, Jesse Ryan. We are discussing the disapproval of a future budget. How do I characterize the budget then, other than just a future budget? If it's not the 18-19, are there specific years for this budget?
This is for the out years leading up to 20 to 21. So it's for the 19-20, 20 to 21 academic years. And we are, again, leaning forward. We're very grateful that at the board meeting last week, four out of five of our bargaining partners formed a consortium, knowing that this was a serious issue and that we would collaborate with one another. Today is the first day in which the appointed fiscal advisor will spend her entire day with our new chief business officer as well. And we will be meeting with them. They have said that they have ideas about how we can get through this together jointly in the spirit of collaboration. And we're very grateful for that gesture.
Ms. Ryan, that sounds like teachers who were given a contract and a raise in negotiations last year might now be willing to look at some cuts because of this shortfall. Am I reading that correctly?
Well, we're certainly hopeful that our SCTA bargaining partners will be part of the consortium. I will tell you, when we sat down with our four bargaining partners on Friday to discuss the gravity of our fiscal situation, what was inspiring to me and different from the dialogues I've heard in the past was really a willingness to engage in some shared sacrifice. What I heard loud and clear is that this is a difficult situation, but that they had ideas and wanted to be part of developing the solutions and prioritizing the best possible cuts if we have to make these difficult decisions.
Mr. Aguilar, how does that translate for
you? First and foremost, I'll say as superintendent, I think that folks will be very envious to be in a position. Imagine being a superintendent where four out of five bargaining partners come to the table and say, we want to form not a coalition, but a consortium, not to fight against this, but to be with you in the fight. Absolutely thrilled and excited that's what we have in Sac City at the moment.
I'm imagining this in hindsight, though. You go back to a district on the brink of a strike and the public outcry to avoid a strike. You want to give the teachers something they'll agree to. What if that component of, but it's probably going to cost summer school over the next couple years, or it's going to cost other cuts that directly translate to the education of your children, then what? Could you have framed the conversation a year ago in that way?
Well, that's, certainly how I've always framed this conversation. As President Ryan mentioned, the difference between what was being requested and what we felt we could afford, there's still a huge gap even today. And that's because when I decided to take this position, I was deeply inspired by a Board of Education that said loud and clear that they were committed to this vision and a guiding principle that rested on the principle of advancing equity, access, and social justice. And so everything that we've done in the past year has been with that in mind. I'll just want to go back again. As a result of having paid for the SAT for every one of our juniors during the school day, we now have a couple more hundred students that are eligible going into their senior year, which they just started, eligible to apply for colleges and universities. We'll have more students take AP tests that weren't taking the AP test because each of them costs $90. In a community like Sacramento, one thing that I've been able to appreciate is that the forces that are at play currently that I've been able to appreciate are such that we have many families that are struggling that can't afford to pay for an SAT, that can't afford to pay for an AP test. And I believe that that is in line with this mission around equity, access, and social justice. And that is what many organizations, civil rights advocacy-based organizations, would want Sac City to be investing in.
President Ryan, and this is the same question to both of you to wrap this up. How confident are you that that October 8th deadline for a response to deal with this budget shortfall and adjust the budget can be met?
I'm fully confident that we'll meet that deadline. I have to tell you, Dave Gordon and the Sacramento County Office of Education has been such a proactive and present partner in this. They have really told us, this is a preventative measure so that you have what you need to meet the needs of students in years to come. So that means that we will roll up our sleeves, get to work, find efficiencies. That means that we'll have to be nimble. We'll have to work with our bargaining partners and our communities to ask, how do we prioritize cuts? How do we ensure that our very deserving students have the resources they need in the classroom and beyond? And I think that there is a willingness to do that and do that in this very tight timeline.
Superintendent Aguilar, same question.
Absolutely. This is such a wonderful opportunity for us in Sac City and for this entire community, Beth, that we are going to take on and we are going to lean forward. I'm so deeply humbled when people ask me, are you a superintendent that's only going to be here 3 to 4 years? And I insist that I don't intend to do that. But with that, we are going to have to capitalize on these kinds of opportunities so that we make tough decisions now and see the great benefits that can come from a structurally sound budget processing that leads to long-term sustainability, because the ones that will benefit are our students and this community. And so we're going to stay very focused on that mission.
Well, thank you both for this conversation. We'll have to reconvene in October as we see what happens going forward. I think it is important for us to reiterate again that the budget that was disapproved is a future budget and not the budget for the current school year.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
Thank you. And again, from the Sacramento City Unified School District, that is Superintendent Jorge Aguilar, and from the Board of Education, the President, Jesse Ryan. There is more background on our website, capradio.org, and this is Insight on Cap Radio.